Hello, dear friends, and welcome to this Bible study and time of fellowship in God's Word today. Our message from God's Word today comes again from the 59th chapter of Isaiah. Last week we talked about a nation in crisis. Today, our message is, how did we get there? How did we get ourselves into this terrible crisis situation? How does a nation fall into crisis? God's Word is always perfect, always new, and always relevant to today. I hope you will stay with us and be encouraged as we conclude that God is still in control, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life that we need for today's world. Our monthly memory verse again comes from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And we can hardly consider verse 20 without going on to verse 21 as well. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. The Lord has given us the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. I believe the coronavirus pandemic and the resulting economic collapse is a wake-up call. Or as one person put it recently, it's the world's biggest altar call ever given. Thank God we can still listen to His Word today. God has something to say to each one of us. Let's take time to go to the Lord in prayer as we begin today's time together. Father in heaven, I want to praise you for this day, the day that the Lord has given us to rejoice in your goodness and in your promises of eternal joy and eternal life in your presence. I read somewhere this week that every day the Lord allows us to wake up and have breath is a gift from you. How true. That thought should give us the courage to face whatever challenges come our way, because we know that, Lord, you are with us, and you will never, never leave us nor forsake us. I want to praise you for the opportunity this Memorial Day weekend to give thanks to our Heavenly Father for the country, our great nation, and to remember and give thanks for the brave men and women who have given their lives to give us the freedoms that we have. And this also reminds me of the brave men and women, Lord, who have recently lost their lives while helping others to fight this coronavirus. I pray that Franklin County and the rest of the counties in Pennsylvania still in the red phase will soon see enough reduction in the number of cases that they may move to the yellow phase, and that soon all the state will be able to go to the green phase. I pray, Lord, that you will keep us all safe from the virus and safe from all other illnesses or accidents that would cause us suffering and pain. I pray for those still fighting the coronavirus, especially the children, over 300 now, who are afflicted with a new form of coronavirus. Again, we pray for all the medical personnel and the first responders who put their lives at risk every single day to treat people infected with this terrible disease. I pray especially for all those people in nursing homes, the staff, and the elderly residents who are infected or in danger of being infected. I pray for all those people who have suffered financially, loss of jobs, many who are way behind on their bills. This is very depressing for many. And so we pray for those who are discouraged and desperate. We pray for anyone who may be hungry, or homeless. We pray that their needs might be met. I pray, Father, for the rescue missions who are courageously taking care of many homeless people. Protect those organizations that minister to people in their personal needs. Keep them safe from the coronavirus. And then, Lord, I want to pray for our church family, especially the ones going through ongoing suffering with medical issues, for those with cancer and heart disease, diabetes, and so many other sicknesses. I pray, Lord, for those enduring the hardship of aging. This week, new prayer requests from our congregation include a man who is suffering with severe allergies. I pray for a lady who is experiencing severe dizziness and blacking out. I pray, Lord, for a young lady who fell and damaged her knee, may have to have surgery. And I also pray for an older gentleman who is very critically ill. Lord, I want to pray for our missionary family. Thank you for each one of them and their service. Thank you, Lord, that they have been protected from the coronavirus themselves. And I pray for the countries and areas they're serving. I pray, Lord, that their needs will be supplied according to your riches and glory, that you would comfort the missionaries. And I know they're, just like we're anxious to get back to church services, they're anxious to get on with their work, their labors, teaching, preaching, translating the scriptures, whatever work they may be doing. Lord, I pray that you would soon help them to get back to their labors. I want to pray for the Moyano family in Spain, our missionaries of the month. We got a letter from them this week, Father, and in that letter they said, "We are praying that the Lord will guide us and give us wisdom to take advantage of this time to best serve the people. My wife and I are preparing studies and making videos for the Latino Jewish community. We ask you to pray for this work. We are aware that we are reaching people that we are now able to contact in Uruguay, Brazil, Chile, Spain, and Israel. Our trip to Israel has been put on hold until February 2021, but we trust in the Lord and pray that we will be able to travel before that time. Each month is a step of faith." And speaking of a step of faith, let's all pray that God would show us ways to take advantage of this time to witness to our unsaved family and neighbors. And finally, Lord, I want to praise you for this opportunity to hear your word again. Help us to apply it to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, the message once again comes from Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 through 5, especially verse 5. And the message title is, "How Does a Nation Fall into a Crisis?" How does a nation fall into a crisis? Last week, in part 1, we looked at a nation in crisis. How does a nation fall into crisis? We're going to read those verses again, Isaiah 59, 1 through 5, in just a moment. But keep your Bible open there, because we're going to be reading several of the verses that follow. Verses 1 through 5 of Isaiah 59, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Last week we compared the crisis in America to the crisis in the nation of Judah just before the Assyrian invasion and the destruction of Judah. Isaiah reviewed the major sins of the nation which led to their downfall. There were four of them. First of all, they had separated themselves from God through unconfessed sin. Separation from God is a serious problem. Anyone who cannot see that does not understand the history we learn from the Bible. Like the prodigal son who left his father, Judah's problems got worse and worse until they found themselves in serious danger of total collapse. Of course, being separated from God, they could not pray because God would not hear their prayers. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." With unconfessed sin, they were out of fellowship with God. When you are out of fellowship with God, you are in a miserable condition. You are in a dark place. The prodigal son was not happy when he was living among the pigs. And neither can we be happy when we are going our own way and doing our own thing. Oh, Satan will make sin look attractive, and we may think we're having a good time for a while. But sin always leads to misery, and separation from God is a horrible condition to be in. And being out of fellowship or separated from God, we cannot have the joy of the Lord in our hearts, and without the joy of the Lord, we have no strength. We are a nation in crisis. The second sin that Isaiah pointed out was that Judah was guilty of having bloody hands, the murder of innocent lives. They had fallen into idolatry. They had broken the first two commandments, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," and "Thou shalt not make any graven image." They had gone so far in their sinful depravity that they were making war with other nations just to take the spoil, material possessions which they didn't even need. In other words, they were murdering people simply because they wanted what those people had. So actually, they were guilty of breaking the 8th and 10th commandments also. "Thou shalt not steal," and "Thou shalt not covet." They also, believe it or not, became so corrupt and so sinfully blind that they began offering their own children as burnt sacrifices to the pagan gods of other nations. Bloody hands. America has bloody hands too. Every day when you pick up the newspaper or turn on the TV news, the headlines tell about many innocent victims of murder. Killings, killings, killings. There's no place that is safe to live in our world. People get high on drugs or drunk with alcohol, and they go out, get in a car, and kill innocent people. We have bloody hands. Every day, hundreds of babies are murdered in abortion clinics. These babies have souls, and they are precious in the Lord's sight. We have bloody hands. We are a nation in crisis. Thirdly, the nation of Judah was guilty of having lying lips. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. They had broken the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. This is an election year. And again, what do we hear when we turn on the TV? Every politician has an ad telling about all the lies of his competitor. What is truth? Truth has been trashed. Truth cannot be found in the streets. We are a nation in crisis. And fourthly, Isaiah says, you have wicked hearts. Verse 4, none called for justice. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Jeremiah put it this way, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In other words, they had broken all 10 commandments. Are we any better? America is a nation in crisis. The Apostle Paul put it this way, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. He goes on to say, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A nation in crisis. I heard Dr. David Jeremiah define the word crisis this week. He said, a crisis is a time when you do not know the outcome and you cannot predict what events the future may hold. Again, a crisis is a time when you do not know the outcome and you cannot predict what events the future may hold. Will we be able to conquer the coronavirus? When? How? Will we be able to recover from the economic downturn and recession that we're in? We don't know the outcome. We can't predict what the immediate future holds for us. And yet we know that God has a plan. God knows what He's doing. God is sovereign. He's still on the throne. He's still in control. If I were to find myself in a crisis situation and I knew there was someone nearby who knew who was in complete control of the situation, what do you think I would do? I'd get a hold of that one who is in control and I would listen to every word he had to say. How does a nation fall into crisis? Listen again to God's word in verse 5. Verse 5 is a really peculiar verse. It's probably a verse you haven't given a lot of thought to and a verse that you haven't really grasped its meaning, but it's an interesting verse. One word answers the question about how a nation falls into a crisis, and that word is, are you ready for it? Deception. Deception. Judah had fallen into deception. They had departed from the truth. In verse 4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They did not want to hear the truth. They had shoved their teachers into a corner. Again, Isaiah 30:20. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. They did not want to hear the truth because they had a false sense of security. They thought they were fine just the way they were. They had a life of comfort. They were in need of nothing. They didn't want to hear the truth because the truth was convicting. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to convict people of their sins. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, John 16:8. That word reprove means that He will convict or convince. He will convince people that, yes, indeed, you are a sinner. And He will convince us that our righteousness is self-righteousness, and therefore it falls short in pleasing God. And He will convince us that there is a judgment coming, and we believe it's coming soon. Also, they did not want to hear the truth because the truth would demand a change. And we human beings, especially in our fallen, sinful condition, are creatures of habit, aren't we? It's unnatural for us to want change. We get comfortable in and with our sin. That's deception. Deception leads to a false sense of security. Look again at verse 5. They hatch cockatrice eggs. Do you know what a cockatrice is? A cockatrice is an adder or a viper. It's a very venomous, deadly snake. Years ago, we had some very dear friends who were farmers. They raised their own chickens from their own eggs. They would collect fertile eggs from the hen house and put them into an incubator. After so many days, those eggs would begin to break open and you would have a brand new batch of chicks. We had the fun of house-sitting for this family one time when a batch of eggs were in the process of hatching. Now let's suppose I were a farmer and you were my neighbor, and let's suppose I were to say to you, come over to my house, I'll give you a nice big batch of eggs. Take them home, put the fertile ones in your incubator, and put the rest of them in your skillet and fry them up. They look like chicken eggs, but inside is deadly poison. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed or hatched breaketh out into a viper. What have I done? I've given you a batch of eggs. I have given you what looks good and wholesome on the outside, but on the inside, it's deadly. I've given you a diet of deception. I've told you that these eggs will be delicious. They will be good for you. They will bring you great joy, satisfaction, happiness. Will I have told you the truth? You see, just like Judah, America has listened to the lies and philosophies hatched out through the incubators of materialism. Materialism says all you need is more things. All you need is more toys, more trinkets, shiny things that appeal to the flesh and bring temporary satisfaction. You can trust in your savings account and your 401k. You don't have to worry about the future because you have riches untold. What did Jesus say about that? He says, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man bringeth forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That's Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. And again, like Judah, America has listened to the lies and philosophies that have been hatched out through the incubators of humanism. We had materialism and then also humanism. Theism is the belief in God. Humanism is the belief in man or self. It says, I am strong. I am able to do it myself. I can feed myself. I can clothe myself. I can put a nice roof over my head. I. You see where this philosophy is taking people, right? Proverbs 14:12 says, There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of D-E-A-T-H, death. Humanism is the cockatrice eggs that says, you don't need God, you have me. Also, not only do we have materialism and humanism that has deceived us, but then there's liberalism. Liberalism says, you don't need truth. Truth is overrated. It's okay to go your own way, do your own thing, just eat, drink, and be merry, for someday we're all going to just die, and that'll be the end of that. It's okay. Go party, party, party. Be happy. Drink yourself into oblivion. Enjoy your pornography and whatever lifestyle turns you on. Enjoy your alcohol, your drugs, and your immorality. It's okay, because after you die, well, there's probably no God. God is dead. You don't have to worry about a judgment. That's all a bunch of nonsense. Just a crutch that some people need to get them through their own fears of facing the future. A diet of deception leads to a false sense of security, a web of wickedness. Verse 5 says, they weave the spider's web. You see, a spider weaves a web for two reasons. First, he uses his web to catch prey. Little helpless critters get caught in the sticky mess and they can't get away. But big, dumb critters like us, we just walk through a spider web without effort. It might feel a little uncomfortable for a while, but a spider web will never protect you from the venom of a cockatrice. You might think of a spider's web as a shield full of excuses. Oh, I'm smart enough. I won't get caught up in the world's devices. Or I have a dependable joy. I don't have to prepare for the future. Or if I can just get ahead of the crowd and collect a large amount of possessions, I'll be happy. Lies. Secondly, a spider builds a web to protect its nest. And again, it will keep out little insects and scary little bugs, but it's no protection from the intrusion of a man or a woman who wants to go that way. People trust in spiders' webs, materialism, humanism, liberalism, and a whole host of isms that are of equal value when it comes to saving the soul. You see, deception is the venom, the poison that leads to destruction. The lies that keep people from knowing and accepting the truth. What did Jesus say? He said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth of Jesus Christ will set you free from the spider webs you've been trusting in. Through Jesus, we have the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And in case you have questions about how to find this truth, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. It doesn't get any plainer or more simple than that. Jesus is the way. The only way. All the isms of the world have one basic lie, and that lie is that there are many ways to find life, many ways to achieve happiness, many ways to gain success, many answers to man's problems and needs. But God says, no, no, no. There's only one way. And that way is through Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ. No doubt you've heard the expression, Jesus Christ is our all in all. What that means is that Jesus Christ is the basic building block upon which our whole life must rest and trust. He is the Word, W-O-R-D, the Logos, the basic building structure upon which everything else must stand. Without Christ, the solid rock, everything else is just sinking sand. The world, the flesh, and the devil are instruments of deception, which all work very hard to make sure we crowd Jesus Christ out of our life. What we need to realize is that He is the substance of life itself. He is the door. He is the bread of life. He is the light of life. He is the true vine. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the good shepherd. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Without Him, everything else is just sand, sinking sand. And why do we need Jesus Christ? Other than the fact, of course, that He is the only way? Well, if you keep reading in Isaiah 59, it tells us, "Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. There is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness." If you were paying close attention to the earlier part of the message, you might be saying to yourself, "Hey, wait a minute. Where have I heard those words before?" That is the very same passage that Paul was quoting when we read earlier from Romans chapter 3, where he concluded, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But thank God, the story doesn't end there. Paul not only goes on to say that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he also says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. America is a nation in crisis. I think we can all agree to that. But how did our great nation fall into such a crisis? Deception. For many, many years, we've been putting the wrong eggs into our basket. We've bought into the lies of the devil. There is only one truth. There is only one God. There is only one Savior, and He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is only one bridge across the wide chasm of sin and despair. That bridge is the cross upon which Jesus died. You see, the cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And its grace, so free, is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. And there's room at the cross for you. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Father in heaven, I pray for those in our listening audience today who are concerned about heaven and hell and where they are going to spend eternity. Please lead them to believe and accept you as their Lord and Savior. Let them know how much you love them, and that Jesus Christ has taken our sin and paid the penalty for our sins through His death on the cross. I pray for those who may be afraid that they have been living a life of deception. They may think they are saved, but they feel that they've lived a good life, or they've been baptized as an infant, or for some other reason. May they truly understand that the only way to heaven is by believing the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that He is the only way to heaven. He said, "No man comes to the Father but by me." May they trust Christ to save them today. And Father, I pray for every Christian listening today that they might be filled with the Spirit and filled with joy. I pray that you will forgive us of all the sins we have committed and allow us to be witnesses to others of the saving grace that we have received. Bless us this week. Allow us to encourage others by praying for them and helping them in any way we can. In Jesus' name, amen. I have just a couple of announcements before we finish today. As you may have heard, Franklin County still has a very high rate of coronavirus cases, 174 per 100,000. So we are still in phase red as far as reopening church services. We are patiently waiting until we can safely gather under the guidelines given by our governor's office. Until then, please be listening to Christian messages and music. Stay safe and stay healthy. Also, I encourage you to do what we were taught through a little song that we learned a long time ago in Sunday school. Read your Bible. Pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. That's always good advice. If you've made a decision today, or you would like more information, or if you would like to share a prayer request, please give us a call or send us a note. And by the way, the email is now working from our contact page. So we would love to hear from you. God bless you, and have a wonderful and blessed day.